Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, with his awesome sauce in hand, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I am rife with excitement.
Rife. It's a good word.
So rife. Rife. I am all rifed up. You're ready to go.
All rafted up and don't know what to do. What has you rifed? What has your feathers in a rifle?
It seems like things didn't happen this week, but things did happen this week.
Things certainly
news-wise.
Happened. Oh yeah.
Cuz it seemed like not a lot went down that was explosive, but then again, there were a few tidbits that are way explosive that I'm eager to get into.
Muy explosivo as the south of the border may say.
Yes.
Folks, if you're new here, this is the Dual Screams Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, we're going to cherry pick some news for you. And we're going to dissect it. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to get your opinions because this show records live on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams every Sunday night. And we're going to interact with you in the chat during the show because that's how we roll around here. And if you want to listen to the polished, the audio podcast, the audio version of this thing, if you're not already, it posts each and every Monday.
Lie.
Yeah,
just live at the beginning of the show like that.
It posts each and every Monday morning on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com. And we also post this on Tuesdays on youtube.com/dualscreensTB. You know what, Andy? I don't even want to go into the other stuff. I want to get right into the meat and potatoes of this stuff.
Just do it.
I'm not going to do...
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to support us, we would love it if you went to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our two Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul, whom we love to death. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your support, because without it, we cannot continue to do what we do here. We can't continue to go to conventions when they come back. We can't continue to buy weird shit to unbox on our YouTube channel. We can't afford to buy new games to cover for you, because we don't get that free shit like some of you out there get that. We got to buy a lot of our stuff. So we do appreciate it if you do support us by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast. So let's just get right into the show, Andy. It is time for Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what have you been playing?
I am done with The Last of Us 2. Done.
Did you get your platinum?
Listen, I will go back for it. It seems easier than I thought it would be. There's no plan ultra hard survivor mode, I think, for it. I think it's not in there. It's all collectible shit you got to do, but what a wild ride that game was.
Yeah.
I am exhausted. Sure. Like I had the PS4 on rest mode for the last week, it seems. And now it's just, I have shut it down. Just, I needed to just rest like my heart and all of my emotions. And then I played a bit of Kirby's Adventure because I had to have the exact opposite kind of a gameplay experience. I went from pure brutality to sheer bliss and joy and happiness in Kirby. So that's my balance between Friday and right now.
Yeah, it's you know, The Last of Us Part 2 and we're not spoiling anything. We're going to do a full spoiler cast probably tomorrow. So, yeah. You know, we're going to dive in and really get into the nitty gritty, but like, it was one of those one of those games that surprised me at every turn, had a surprise for me, whether it was a surprise I liked or didn't like. I was still nothing I expected to happened at any point in that game, except for maybe the very beginning, which I didn't exactly expect at that time anyway, but I expected it to happen at some point. But I'm really excited to get into that in more detail. So look for that. That's going to be a bonus episode going up for the general public. But speaking of bonus episodes, folks, if you are a Patreon supporter, go and vote for the topic. We will be recording that at some point this week as well, our bonus Patreon episode. And there's some really fun topics up there. So I look forward to recording that with you as well, Andy. The Last of Us Part 2 is definitely what I played that. I beat that. I haven't gotten back in, but I do have a plan for what I'm playing until Ghosts comes out. I'm going to get through Control. I'm going to, put that to rest. And then should I do, I'm going to let you decide. Should I do Resident Evil 7 or 2? What should I do first? Because I'm going to break them up. So whichever one I do, I'm not going to do the next one until I put something in between.
I think you should start with 7.
Okay.
Because 7, at least, if you don't like the format, the perspective, or the story, or the gameplay, which I loved all of that, by the way, at least you'll have part 2 to come to in the end for just a great nostalgic, but a remade experience. So I think that's the best course of action.
Yeah. So so Control is definitely first. I'm going to get back into Control. I'm going to beat that. I'm probably halfway through, so I probably have maybe, if I play it the way I played The Last of Us, I probably have like 3 good sessions sitting down with it.
Right.
So that should be easy enough, you know, for the backlog. But then I'm going to do, so I'll do Resident Evil 7. And then after that, because those are kind of similar in tone where they're more darker and more mysterious. So I kind of want to break it up with something a little bit lighter and maybe a little bit more, not necessarily comical, but just something a little bit lighter that's in my backlog. So I think I might actually go and unwrap from the shrink wrap. Shadow of War has been calling my name for some reason. I know. It's been sitting there in the shrink wrap forever.
In the shrink wrap. That's offensive.
Yeah, it's been in the shrink wrap for a long, long time. So I don't know. So I think that's what I'm going to do. But anyway, yeah, I've been doing that. I've been still playing Fallout Shelter. I think I'm 3 dwellers away from getting attacked by fucking Deathclaws all the time. So that's about where I shut off the game every time and start over. So
well, you're trying to postpone the inevitable. Just take it like a man.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stop at 49. And really build up everybody first, because I think as soon as you get 50, that's when the shit starts hitting the
right.
Yeah, but we'll see about that. Let's see if I've been playing anything else. Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a minute of Apex Legends with Steve.
Oh, fuck me in the ass.
And starting now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I have been having an absolute blast playing Apex Legends. The season 5 has been going full swing. I've been having so much fun, and the changes they made to Lifeline are absolutely unbelievable. Now let me tell you what you got here. So she was the combat medic, you know? The combat medic is what she was called forever, and what that basically meant was she was really the only one that could actually heal anybody. But now, not only can she heal people, but she could now resurrect people like that are downed without having to stop fighting. So a true combat medic. Finally. So what you do now is when you do revive somebody, instead of standing there and physically picking them up, you know, hitting them with the syringe, now her little robot does it. So the robot does that, puts up the shield so that you can go and continue to fight. I cannot even begin to explain to you how incredible that is from a tactical perspective. And that was a minute of Apex Legends with Steve.
You know, I just learned I could actually watch on the Twitch stream the actual seconds counting down till that's over. So that's, I could do that from now on.
You could do that? That's great.
Yeah. I could just wait till it's almost over.
All right. So let's talk about our indie. We have an indie news update, and this is, you filled this one in this week. So what do we got on the indie news?
Did you see this trailer for Rogue Legacy 2?
I did not actually.
Oh my God. So it's coming out early access July 23rd. I believe it's Epic and Steam.
Very nice.
And
little combo action.
Holy hell. It is. It's so wild how much this game has evolved since its first iteration. There was a power called hyperflatulence.
Sure.
when you die, like a huge fart gets let out. But this looks like to take the concept of inheriting traits from your, I guess, your ancestors to a whole other level. And I can't,
you know,
I can't
I've
wait
always
for it.
Wondered at what point do you have your kid? Like, you not allowed?
Like it's your legit offspring.
Yeah. Like, are you not allowed to, I mean, if it's your lineage, you have to be procreating at some point. So is it like on your 18th birthday, you know, impregnate your, or like the minute you impregnate your, or like the minute your kid is born, that's when you go out, because you don't like see your family or anything like that. It's just like, hey, I've come of age and now here I go.
You're dust and heir to this, you know,
right,
to the lineage,
right,
of the rogue. I guess it's also like, it's through the years of passing down the traits, you see them more pronounced in your character. Because,
so
you know,
let me ask you this.
Sure.
If you're, so when you're playing Rogue Legacy, aren't you a little bit behooved to just not be good at the game? Like, wouldn't it be better to just like be kind of okay and then keep dying until you get the traits to exactly what you want? Kind of like
that's
a Pokemon?
That's exactly the point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's part of its whole appeal. It's also, it's designed so you don't feel bad when you die, because you can come back for better or worse, because, you know, hyperflatulence.
Right, you don't.
That's in the plus column for me.
You still gotta be careful with that stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I have that now. You can ask the fiance for sure.
Fiance.
That's what I got going on.
I mean, yeah. I listen.
If farts could kill.
I think what I'm gonna do, I'm probably gonna play through the first one. Because I don't think I've actually. I must have played it.
I was just watching a 13-minute speedrun of the first game.
13. Well, I guess that's
which. Listen, it's a short game, but it's also a random game.
Right.
So how do you speed run if it's all at random?
I don't think it's not technically a speed run then. It's
right.
My fastest run.
Right, or the fastest run. Right. It was the world record that I was watching.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. All right, so that's the indie news update, and we have some meaty topics to talk. So we only brought two topics each this week.
Doesn't matter.
But we have some meat on these bones.
It's meat.
So let's get into the dual screens report, and Andy, let's have you start us off here. What did you bring to the table? God. What did you want to talk about this week?
See, now this would normally go in the indie news update, but this is just so extra beefy and a surprise. It belongs in the news report itself. We're getting a sequel to Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Don't get that confused, folks, with Ritual of the Night.
Yes, this is a sequel to the prequel spin-off 8-bit game that came out before Ritual of the Night.
And if you go back about 70 episodes, I called it. This should be its own series, and now it is, and I'm so happy. Because I personally liked this more, not way more, but more than I liked
I'm going to say I like this way more than Ritual of the Night, because it was Castlevania 3 through and through. It was multiple characters. Mm-hmm. It was like your Alucard, your Batmorpher character, your Belmont, and like your Spellcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting all that with new characters, one of which I think... Mm-hmm. make this game the year material.
Accurate.
Mm-hmm. It's a character named Hachi, who is a mech controlled by a corgi.
Yeah, why? But I mean, yes, great. But also,
we don't question. We don't question why.
There has to be no. Here's the thing. There has to be a really fucking funny and awesome reason why.
For
and
sure.
I want to know what that reason is.
And we're gonna learn. On July fucking 10th, no less, this game comes out.
Well, hopefully, Andy, I want to learn. Let's see. I want to learn before that. So do you think we can get Roberto from 505 on the show?
You know what? See, it is an Inti Creates game. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has any 505
I'm sure
influence.
We could. Maybe.
But he may know people.
He may know people.
But there is a reason why we need to push this. You know why, Steven?
Why is that?
This game is also co-op.
Indeed.
So.
Indeed.
I feel, given the nature of our podcast, two friends playing games, we do a Tuesdays thing once every 3 years, it seems like. This could be a great game to play together on the stream.
Man, I would... I really like that game a lot. Like,
yeah.
Curse of the Moon, I really liked a lot. I only beat it one time. I'm one of those people that just... If you tell me I have to do something more than once, I'm not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. Nobody puts baby in the corner, you know what I mean? But I know was the purpose. The purpose was getting like different, I guess there was like two or three endings or something like that.
Right. And then it was also like a holdover. Like, listen, the full game is still being tweaked, polished, worked on. Here's something. And it was part of the Kickstarter campaign, this side project.
Yeah.
But it was a good filler. but now it's its own thing, which
yeah,
I love.
But you know, being a filler, you know, whatever, like both of us, when that came out, we both felt like it wasn't like it was a really fun game to play.
Right.
It was a fully realized
mm-hmm. game. Yeah. And I feel now they can kind of, it's out of the Bloodstained, I guess, the proper game Shadow. Right. Now it's its own kind of separate franchise.
Right. Right.
God bless him.
By the way, visual list, viewers, Andy is definitely off sync on my Google Hangout as well. It is not a stream thing. It is a phone call thing. So, Andy, if you want to deactivate your camera and reactivate it, see if that helps.
Oh.
But you were way out of sync there for a few minutes there.
Let's find out.
So while you're doing that, I want to get back into our conversation about The Last of Us Part 2. Because The Last of Us Part 2 is selling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot. Mm-hmm. Last of Us Part 2 sells more than 4 million copies in, what was that, 3 days?
Yeah, it's now the best-selling and fastest-selling, well, not best, the fastest-selling game on PS4.
Right.
I think it broke the Spider-Man and God of War records. I think we're like 3.5 million range.
Yeah, so it's
crushed that.
Yeah, let's get it from the horse's mouth here. This is from the PlayStation blog. We're delighted to report that The Last of Us Part 2 is now the fastest-selling first-party PS4 exclusive ever, with more than 4 million copies sold through as of June 21st. This milestone would have not been reached without the support from blah, blah, blah. Okay, Naughty Dog is creating an experience. Yeah. I want to read this quote, which is from Neil Druckmann. We are so immensely grateful to the millions of fans around the world that have played The Last of Us Part 2 and shared their experiences with us over the last week. We set out to tell a new kind of story, one that deals with difficult themes and would challenge you in unexpected ways. Hearing how the experience has resonated with so many of you and witnessing the type of thoughtful discussions it has sparked has been so incredible. Yada, yada, yada. We still have a couple of big bangers coming out in Iron Man VR, which I'm not going to play, but we also have Ghost of Tsushima on July 17th. So
Ghost, I am most curious about if it could get to these numbers.
I think if it does 2 million, it's a huge success.
For a new IP, correct. But there was also more news attached to this shifting of the units by Sony. I saw that there was a word of congrats from Phil Spencer on Last of Us 2 sales.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nice, but then I thought, this is so shady, but I don't give a fuck. When was the last time he was given congratulations on any accomplishment with regards to any Xbox games?
I mean, probably Gears 5?
Do you think? I don't know.
Probably.
I did a quick Google. I couldn't find it in the Google search.
Well, they don't talk about sales.
Like I was definitely seeing the Phil saying congrats to Sony on like God of War, Spider-Man, now Last of Us on the PS5 reveal. I've seen a lot of that.
Well,
but I've seen nothing on the reverse though.
Shuhei has congratulated them on releasing games.
Okay.
Which is kind of backhanded in a way of saying congratulations, you finally finished something.
Hey, good congrats job. On Crackdown 3.
Good job, guys.
It's a serious question. I wonder if it's, I don't know. It's a thing, I guess.
Buzz Killington has redeemed his points to submit a news story, so we're gonna honor that here. 3DS, SpongeBob SquarePants, and The Last of Us Part 2 lead the UK charge. That's right, 3DS. This is coming from GamesIndustry.biz, and it's an unusual UK boxed chart this week with several 3DS titles making the top 40. The number one game, however, is far from surprising. PS4 exclusive The Last of Us Part 2 holds number one for a second consecutive week. Sales from the game did drop 80% week on week, which is a heavy fall, but not unusual for a game that sold as strongly as it did in its first week. By comparison, Uncharted 4 dropped 78%. So let's go here. Now onto the surprising game at number two, Bravely Second Endlayer, the 3DS title by Square Enix. The RPG sold three times more physical copies last week than it did when it released in February of 2016. What happened?
So is the proper sequel out soon for the Switch? Is there like some sort of buzz around that?
I don't think so.
Was it on sale?
This is Bravely Second, not Bravely Default.
Right. And I love how this sold more than SpongeBob.
But it is because it was because, okay, so the game was only like $4.
Oh, well then there you go.
Boxed. But still, like, was everybody like, oh, finally? It's finally $4. Right. Let me go get it, or four, whatever, right. $4. Well,
that's a great game. That's a hell of a deal for a game.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Also, we're seeing both Last of Us games in the top 10, according to this little chart.
Yeah. That's cool.
Came back from number 17, now number 9.
Hmm.
But right. Yeah, huge success. And it's fun to see, after so much hate that this game received prior to release, given the leaks, seeing it sell so remarkably well is like a vindication in my eyes.
Indeed.
Which I had no doubt, but this is just huge. And again, this is an M-rated game, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that doesn't mean shit.
Telling
anymore.
You.
All right, Andy. It doesn't. Hit us with your next story. What are you bringing to the table here?
Oh, this is interesting. Interesting. So, like most people, I was jazzed about this. But then again, I shouldn't be, because it's how life works.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get your hopes up.
Don't get them up.
So Xbox says, sorry to get your hopes up, which could sum up the last generation of Xbox in general.
Sorry, boss.
Right. That the new Perfect Dark and Fable Twitter accounts are just there as quote unquote standard practice to secure social handles for our RP.
Wink, wink.
So a whole big hullabaloo came recently that people thought that this new Fable Twitter account appeared and it was it's happening moment. And then we got a Perfect Dark, which is also like shit. We have the July, whatever the hell day it is, yeah, July 10th.
I mean, it's very convenient that they would do that at
right,
this time.
Right. So Tom Warren on Twitter was like, I'm not sure who discovered the at Fable and at Perfect Dark game placeholders, but a Microsoft Xbox employee is following one, mm-hmm. and the other is registered to Microsoft email address. So it seemed like it was going there, but then our good friend Aaron Greenberg was like, nope, this is just what we do.
There is no doubt in my mind that both of those games are coming.
Oh, for sure. At the very least, Fable has to be happening at this
they
point.
They need a third-person action RPG adventure game. They need it.
They need something else other than Halo and Forza.
Yeah.
That's what they need. Yes. And a Fable and a Perfect Dark. And Gears, yes.
Like, Perfect Dark, like, they don't necessarily need a Perfect Dark because they have Halo.
They need the Fable, though.
They need Fable.
Because Fable is a wildly different kind of franchise than, you know, because you could sort of get Perfect Dark-ish bits from, like, you know, your Halo
right.
or your Gears,
or,
you know.
Or you could rely heavily on Call of Duty right. and, you know, Battlefield right. or Battlefront, whatever. But right. I think there's
like
no
high fantasy. You got to get your Fable.
I don't think there's more important franchise to Xbox going into next gen. True next gen. I don't mean like the ones that are coming to the One X, like Halo. I think there's no more important title than Fable or IP than Fable. Like, I know that the IP kind of lost a lot of its luster, but with the success of games like The Witcher, all the Souls games have all pretty much every one of them came, all the big ones came after Fable. Dragon Age is another huge franchise. Like, having something like that, something that could fit in that niche that is only on your system is huge ammunition for them. Going
right
into
and
it.
Also like this series needs a comeback after Fable 3 wasn't great. That just to be honest, it wasn't a good game by any means. Then we had the cancellation of Fable Legends, correct? That was the thing that went away. So it's long overdue and it's redemption time for this IP. So placeholder, I can buy it, but is it happening? It's happening.
It has to. Yeah.
Don't be fucking cranking my chain here. It's that game's happening.
I mean, maybe the chat knows. I know Buzz is here listening. Maybe like which one of the studios that they purchased or whatever internal studios, which first party studio would probably handle? You're saying Playground. Okay.
Yeah, and I think there was a coalition for Perfect Dark. Was that the rumor?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But he's saying Playground is the rumored Fable team. So yeah, I guess right. I guess that could be it. But you know, when I look at when I think about Perfect Dark, like I specifically think of multiplayer. Like I don't think about the single player at all in that game. And with Halo having such a massive multiplayer community, I don't think you can. I don't think they should have a Perfect Dark.
Right, because listen, Perfect Dark worked as it was the follow-up title to GoldenEye
right.
for N64, so that's why that magic worked well
right.
back then.
Right.
I don't think the appeal of Perfect Dark today would still be multiplayer, because we've evolved so much between now and then.
Unless they turn Perfect Dark into more of an Overwatch, mm-hmm. where it's online only, and it's more about like espionage. Oof, like,
oh, man.
Yeah, if they did something like that where it's like universe building where they could make it a right. games of service, maybe I could see them finding some sort of little corner of the Xbox. Because that's one of the things.
I don't want that. That sounds horrible to me.
It's one of the things that Xbox, at this point, they don't have an identity with their first-party IP. You know?
Steven, if you look at Last of Us 2, there's a huge market for story-driven single-player games. That can be the thing for Xbox in both Fable and for Perfect Dark, because Joanna Dark is a great character. Don't squander that with multiplayer bullshit. Like, we'll save that for Gears of War, for Halo, and the like.
Well, we know that they have an issue creating new IP. Like,
right.
Sea of Thieves, I don't know. Is Sea of Thieves a IP for them? Or is it
a service.
Right, but is it going right. to be like a Destiny? Like is it going to carry Panache? If they do a Sea of Thieves 2 in 4 years.
I was going to say, do you foresee that happening? A sequel to
that
game?
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
will they build off the original?
I mean, either way, it's going to at some point need one of those cataclysmic like,
right? But shifts. That still just screams like just Game Pass fodder to me, like a game like a Sea of Thieves.
That's what I mean. Like, is Sea of Thieves popular enough where it could be one of the pillars of the Xbox IP, or are we still looking for another IP? Like, I think if you look at if you want to compare PlayStation and Xbox, I really don't want to do that, because PlayStation has really spent the last two generations just mapping out their first-party titles and studios. Mm-hmm. I want to talk specifically about Xbox. When you think Xbox, you think Forza, you think Halo, you think Gears. That's what you think. That's what normal people
think. Well,
that's
their identity, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you could also kind of tangentially think things like Call of Duty and Madden. You can. Because a lot of gamers sure. do default to the Xbox platform when it comes to that, and that's because of the success of the 360, especially the first right. 3 years of it.
Right.
So now in the 360 era, before Fable 3, you could also add Fable to that. So Fable's definitely one of those franchises. You look at, so you know, you got Halo, your first person shooter, you got Forza, your driving, you got Gears, your third person action game, and you got Fable as your kind of fantasy RPG. Titles. Now also when you look back at Xbox's legacy, like Mass Effect used to be one of those games, and then it went multi-platform. So mm-hmm. Jade Empire
mm-hmm.
and that was another one of those games. So I think they need to round that out. I would say to ride out a console generation, you kind of want six really strong IP that can identify your brand and diversify your library.
Well, don't forget, now we have the likes of Ori, we have Cuphead, also as part of their like signature series now.
Do
like
you
that.
Think Xbox when you think of those games, though?
I like, don't, because I bought them on Steam.
Right, but even if you didn't have a PC, do you think, oh, I want to buy an Xbox for those sick titles like Ori and Cuphead? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Regardless if it's warranted or not, I don't think that you should think of indie style games as being less
than.
You know,
which reminds me, as a side note here, what happened to Battletoads? Did that come out and I missed it?
No,
was that due last year? That was due last year, right?
No, I don't think it ever had a date.
Or was it early 2020? and now it's
I think it was early 2020. I think.
No, I think it was. I think that game was having some trouble. I mean, I've seen none of it in the longest time.
We'll get it in July for sure.
Nah, I doubt
we're going to get an update on it for sure.
Well, they may announce it at their next big event in July.
We're going to get something. We got that little trailer with the art and all that stuff. Buzz Killington says he thinks they're going to predict that it's going to be an out now situation when they do their July thing.
Oh, the initial date was 2019, so it was pushed back.
Oh, okay. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like a Battletoads 2D brawler and a platformer like Cuphead, like that's not what is going to sell your console. Like what sells Nintendo consoles.
No,
it's the big 3D. It's the right. Big, you know, like
this is why having a Fable, a Perfect Dark, I think would go a long way for them. Which it makes you wonder what all these new acquisitions are working on for them. Like Hellblade 2, I think that's a great way. That's a great new thing for them.
Right.
Huge.
But again,
that could be their God of War response.
Well, but we know what we know of Hellblade is that Hellblade's not that game. Hellblade is like are they going to take Hellblade and are they going to God of Warify it where it's more of an action game and less of a narrative game?
We've only known Hellblade as a small AA small budget title that relied on sound design as its primary gimmick.
Now that the leash is off, you think that they're going to go in and do like a Horizon, you know, like game. Like the thing about
I have concerns about that. Do I want that for Hellblade? I don't know. That seemed more arty to me than about all full blown action.
Right, right. And you know, I guess one of those franchises, that one of those IP that can be associated with Microsoft and Xbox could be Outer Worlds. Granted, it was a multi-platform thing, but maybe an Outer Worlds 2 situation can be their Fallout, their Mass Effect, their, you know, whatever, because Obsidian has that experience, and I love what I'm playing of that. Like, the Outer Worlds, well, it doesn't matter because I have a PC, but if all things were equal and I didn't have a gaming PC to play Outer Worlds on, if Xbox was the only place to play something like that, I would very, very highly consider getting it. Like if that was the only place I could play Fable, if it was the only place I could play Outer Worlds, it was the only place I could play.
But that's not going to be the case though. And you know it.
For me, it's not.
Right.
But
right.
For your average gamer that doesn't have $1,200 to drop on a PC and the only thing they do is get their console for their birthday or Christmas, and Outer Worlds would, if I was 15 years old and I would say to my parents, hey, I really want this thing because I want Outer Worlds 2, like I did with PlayStation, or well, maybe not PlayStation 3, but like I had one console. I had PS3. I didn't have a PC. I didn't have a 360 yet, but I had my PS3. And Fallout, if you took Fallout away from me after 3 and New Vegas came out only on Xbox, I was buying a 360. Without a doubt, I would buy a 360.
Right, but you know, at the very least here, it just seems like just get a Game Pass subscription is all you have to do to enjoy the benefits of Microsoft's games. That's all you need.
You still need the hardware to run it. You're discounting that a series or a Xbox One X, which is going to run all of these games, you're discounting the fact that that's going to be like $300. Like, that's way more attractive than spending four times that just because you want to, quote unquote, get the Game Pass and play them all. Like, it's not, that's not attractive to your average person who doesn't buy PC. Like, when we're in a very weird echo chamber, where
eco, not echo. I find that very bizarre.
They're
by
both
the
same. It's a tomato, tomato. I switch them out.
I've never heard the word eco before.
we're in a very weird echo chamber where we know we're all 30-plus-year-olds who can save money and build PCs. Like that. That's where we are. But I'm trying to put myself in where I was in college, where I was like 19 years old. And 20 years old, and the PS3 was coming out, and it's like, what do I get? Do I get the 360 or the PS3? And like, I followed the IP.
You get two jobs is what you have to do, according to that.
But what I did was, you know, I saved my money, and I got a launch PS3, and I did that for the IP. They had the legacy of IP that I remember. Like, I still thought Final Fantasy was PlayStation. That was it, and that's what I had my Final Fantasy 10 and my 12, and that's what I wanted. So I made that conscious choice. I wanted MLB. That was a game that I really wanted. So what I'm wondering is, for the person that is only going to buy a console and will buy the next gen console because they're, you know, that's what people do. What are they going to base that decision on? Are they going to base it on a cheaper place or a better looking place or a more convenient place to play third party games? Or are they going to say, you know, put out the map on the table and say, here's Xbox's exclusive offerings, and they're exclusive to them because they can't buy a PC. Or, and here's PlayStation's exclusive offerings, which again, they're only going to buy a PlayStation because they can't buy a PC, even if these games come 3 years later on PC. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, I think the power of IP is way more important for Microsoft. So I ask, you know, like, Buzz was throwing down names of the studios he was talking about. Where was it? Double Fine. Can Double Fine create a new IP, one of those IP that I don't think anything that they currently have is going to be
I don't think a Psychonauts 2 is a system seller. Like, no one's saying, I got to get this because of Psychonauts 2. Let's be real about that. Because the first time around, it didn't sell that well.
No, it wasn't a barn burner by any means. But is it any worse than Ratchet and Clank? Like, you know, as like that one-to-one, like, you got Ratchet and Clank or you got Psychonauts. Like, I think Psychonauts is probably more, I mean, it's definitely less of a mainstream IP, I would say, you know, just because gameplay.
That's more of a cult following, though, as opposed to a mainstream. This got a full feature movie.
Right.
Ratchet and Clank. So those they're not on the same wavelength.
That is the argument I'm making here, is that Xbox absolutely
rise to a Ratchet and Clank level? I don't know.
I
don't see that from Double Fine, to be honest. They don't produce that, you know, that caliber of title. Like, the last big game was their Kickstarter game. What was the game called again? I forget what it was called. Elijah Wood was the voice actor. Shit, that sold marginally well, I imagine.
Didn't they hit. Double Fine was Rad, right?
Right. Okay.
Rad didn't Where's review Rad now? Well. It didn't do well. Like,
it was mediocre. Know. Yeah, like, it was a fun idea. I doubt it sold well.
In Exile, I'm not familiar with whatever In Exile that studio has done in the past. Buzz actually says in the chat, what about letting Rare do a new Banjo? That could be an answer to Ratchet, but we had Banjo and it didn't.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel like, will they be allowed to make a new Banjo? They got Sea of Thieves going on. That's like the new baby now.
Right. Unless you just split off the team and say, hey, this is now the Sea of Thieves team. And now
team,
this is do another one.
Right. But I do agree with you that they need to develop that strong caliber of first party IP. It's like the brand recognition. Because Halo is up there. Forza's up there.
Right.
Gears of War is up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have to build off that because Spider-Man's are coming. And like it or not, that's a huge deal for Sony and the PS5.
Yeah, and Sony didn't even have to do anything to make that
their
top IP.
Right.
But yeah, like you think of PlayStation, you think God of War, Uncharted, Spider-Man, Horizon. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the average person probably doesn't think Bloodborne yet, but
that's a great case. Like, Horizon is a new IP,
right? That's exactly my point.
Now it's a huge new deal for Sony. Like,
exactly.
Where's can Microsoft do that for a new IP?
And you know what's crazy also is that when Last of Us 2 was coming out, that was an also end game.
Yeah, it was.
Like, when you thought about it, like, it was like, oh, Naughty Dog, oh yeah, Uncharted's great, and they're like, wait. They're doing this thing now? Yeah, like, what's this? Like,
how good could this be?
And then it came out and was just like, I'll tell you how good it is. I'll slap it across your forehead. That's how good it is. So like that just happened, and it was like it was magic. Now all of a sudden they have two major IP out of one studio. That's very rare that you get one studio making two massive IP.
Listen, I want to make one final notation on this before we move to the our last bit of news for the evening. All this Last of Us 2 discussion lately has been around the character of Abby. Not a huge spoiler right now, just her character. When was the last time you had a character that was this discussed that came out of a Microsoft?
Cortana.
And when was that?
She went batshit, I think, in what was it? 4? Was that when she went nuts?
And when was this? How many years ago?
I don't know. But even so, when was the time before Last of Us Part 2 for us? For us, right. for Sony. It's like, I don't know. Oh, actually, Kratos. Kratos is kind of 180 in his character and like the voice actor and like his design and who he is and being a dad and like all that stuff. That caused a lot of conversation. People cared. But like, you know, outside of I think Halo 2 was the last one I completed. I really didn't like Halo 3, but like, I don't care about Master Chief, but people care about Cortana over Master Chief. Mm-hmm.
It's because she has a face.
But I digress.
All right. So this last bit is going to be something outrageous.
It's interesting. This is really interesting. So in the middle of his stream, Dr. Disrespect gets a text message, looks at it, says like maybe 8 seconds of something saying, we'll get through this, we'll get through this, and then his stream shuts down. And then effective almost immediately after that, Twitch bans him permanently, refunds all of his subscribers that, you know, have paid money. And this was just days after Ninja and Shroud and the Mixer thing all happened. Now, to remind you, Mixer shut down. They partnering with Facebook Gaming and Oculus. Facebook Gaming offered Ninja and Shroud double what they were making it in Mixer, and they declined. Both of them, specifically Ninja, was treated pretty shittily from Twitch. So everybody thought, oh, he's just going to go back to Twitch and everything will be fine. But the other half were saying, well, he was treated kind of shittily from Twitch, so maybe he's not going to go back. So there were a lot of speculation. Like even, you know, I was saying, well, you know, Dr. Disrespect had a lot of issues. And this was also happening at the same time that all of these sexual misconduct allegations going to other Twitch streamers.
Right. That was my first assumption. Like, oh, shit, what did he do?
And me too.
Hashtag me too.
But what I said it when I was streaming on my own at twitch.tv/batchild. I was saying, I hope it's not that. It's just that's where my mind goes because of the current climate. What has happened since then, which is really interesting. So Dr. Disrespect, he comes out with a tweet. He says, Champions Club, Twitch has not notified me on the specific reason behind their decision. Firm handshakes to all the support during this difficult time, Dr. Disrespect. So he originally has been banned for 2 weeks for, you know, filming in a bathroom, public restroom and all that stuff. So a lot of other people were coming in saying, I know the real reason, and it's bigger than just Twitch. It's a bigger issue. I can't talk about it, but it's really big.
Horseshit. Yeah.
Right. So
I know it too, Steven. I know it too, but I can't tell you what it is.
Right. So
you know what it is? He's not a real doctor. That's what it is.
Oh, damn. So there's this new theory with some pretty convincing evidence. And this comes from Forbes. What is Brime, the latest streaming conspiracy involving Ninja, Shroud, and Doc? So in the wake of Dr. Disrespect's cryptic tweet last night saying that he doesn't know the specific reason, Twitch banned him. Speculation has run wild to the point where there's at least one conspiracy that I think is worth addressing. And by the way, the author of this is Paul Tassi from Forbes. And debunking. While many theories about what's going on with Dr. Disrespect involve potential legal trouble that neither he nor Twitch can talk about, there's a very out there idea that was recently elevated to the mainstream by Keemstar, spread to his large following. All of this seems to stem from an anonymous 4chan post that says a whole lot of wild things.
Oh boy.
You know that 4chan.
So reliable, that Chan.
In summary, here's the idea here is that Doc, along with Ninja and Shroud, the two of them recently departing from Mixer, are going to start their own streaming service backed by Spotify. Dr. Disrespect approached creators about the service, and Twitch found out and banned him and are now bringing action against him, legal action. No one could talk about any of this due to NDAs. This was elevated by Keemstar to a new level where he featured a Twitter account called Watch Brime, which is reportedly a new streaming service that will start answering questions about its operations tomorrow on Monday. So after this show is recorded, Brime is supposed to be announced in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to stop here because this actually makes what Ninja and Shroud turning down double what they would get from Mixer from Facebook and makes a lot more sense.
I don't get the Spotify under Google part of this 4chan thing, though.
So I guess Spotify is in some Google umbrella somewhere. Like, so Google a couple of years ago had to, I don't think the word is divest interest. Is divest
sure.
the word?
They okay, had, they we'll go with that.
They had to separate a lot of their business entities so that they are not considered monopolization in different areas. It's something that like Disney is doing as well. It's something that Facebook has to do as well. Like they all kind of do these things so that they can have their pools of money in different pockets as opposed to one pocket. So they are individually mm-hmm. run entities, but they have a parent company that sort of, I guess, divests those interests. And as Buzz says, Google is Alphabet. Alphabet is the parent company. Then there's Google, and then you know everything else kind of spreads out like a thing. So if it makes sense to me that if you know if I'm Ninja or I'm Shroud and I could control 100% of the money I take in if I start this service myself. Mm-hmm. And who better partner than Dr. Disrespect? Like when you think about it, those are the three, right? Like those mm-hmm. are the three streamers that everybody knows. And I'm sure Dr. Disrespect could have commanded plenty of money on the free agent market, even as mm-hmm. just a streamer for this new platform. But the fact that he would be co-owner or some sort of partner, like a true quote unquote partner, makes a lot of sense to me. But again, the thing that he would have done that would have been against, I guess, his contract as a partner would be to try and recruit other streamers away from Twitch.
Right. It's like poaching, basically, is what's happening.
Right. It's a poaching thing. Exactly. So just to get back into this, this was elevated by Keemstar to a new level. I mentioned that. The account appears to have been created within the past week. The only person tweeting about Brime before this is an ex-Mixer person. The evidence is in quotes, cited here is that Brime is following Shroud, Ninja, and Dr. Disrespect, and only 15 people total, but that also includes the likes of Ewok, who just left Mixer, Dr. Lupo, who just re-signed with Twitch, and also a prepare for the 29th image on Doc's stream, implying some sort of announcement. By the way, this Forbes article that I'm reading, give it a click because it's really well done.
Right. And I'm also seeing that Doc signed a multi-million dollar contract with Twitch in March of this year.
Right. Which still, the timing, from what I know, and this article will go back in to kind of debunk a lot of this, but as somebody from the outside, this timing still matches up because he signs in March, and the rumors are that it's been between 4 and 6 weeks that Ninja and Shroud were told that Mixer was going to go under. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't put it that far back. We could say, even if we give a little bit of a margin of error, we're going to say, what, May? No, let's say April. Let's say late April is when this mm-hmm. was known. So it's very possible that they said, shit, we know you just signed this contract, but what if we told you we're doing this thing because Mixer is going under, mm-hmm. we would like you to, you know, we want you to partner with us. We want you to join us.
Right. So. But why have him lead the charge then and try to recruit other streamers?
That's the thing. I don't think he was. I don't think that was on purpose. I think he just did that on his own volition, and that's why he fucked up. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, anyone with half a brain should know you can't do that, right? So I think he just got kind of got caught up, if it's in fact what happened. But So here we go. First of all, Spotify is not owned by Google. This is the first thing. By
right.
Forbes.
Of course.
That invalidates about half of what, but here's the other thing there. As far as what I know about Spotify, if you look at, and again, this is a tinfoil hat thing. I listen to a lot of, Spotify playlists that have like those ads kind of thrown in. They're the same fucking ads I get from Google. And I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't know, but there could be something there, but I digress. Mm-hmm. So there were rumors mm-hmm. Google wanted to acquire Spotify a few years ago, but it never manifested. Second of all, if Doc was going to be attempting to poach streamers from Twitch, someone would have likely spoken about it by now, other than some anonymous 4chan person. Now, mm-hmm. with that sentence, I take issue because that's not necessarily true. If Doc says you're going to make way more money with us, the platform isn't going to take a chunk like these other guys, like half like these other guys do. If you just shut your mouth, like Twitch isn't, like if you rat to Twitch, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, we're going to give you 80% now. Like that's not going to fucking happen. No, it's Amazon. It's not happening.
Right.
but whatever. Anyway, the fact that no one is talking about the reason Doc is banned implies something more serious than this. And we would not see this kind of silence around a simple contract breach issue. Third of all, while Ninja and Shroud have not announced where they're heading yet, and likely had more of a heads up about Mixer's closing than everyone else, which I believe it was fact, it would be a huge stretch to imagine that they would get involved with a brand new streaming site after what happened with Mixer. Not if it's just them. If they get 100% of everything, no, I don't believe that one bit. Fourth
right,
of all,
but these guys can't even give views on Mixer though.
I think that has a lot to do with the optics that Mixer is a Microsoft thing.
Okay.
So I don't use Mixer because I'm a Sony pony. And I don't want to, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, when
right, but did you watch Ninja regularly? I don't think you were a fan of his. Like,
no,
did you follow
his
streams?
Him per se, no. But like,
right.
If there was a streamer that I did like, I'm not downloading Mixer for him. Like, I just Mixer to me was a Microsoft Xbox thing, so it's not a thing I'm involved in. If Mixer was a Windows thing, if it was, you know, if it was a Microsoft Win or whatever, and they took Xbox out of it, I would probably be more likely to download, and I feel like a lot more people would, because it's not tied to one console. Like Twitch is not tied to PlayStation. Mixer had the stigma of being tied to Xbox. So, and Xbox has half,
and you think
less
you
than
think
half
that,
the amount of consoles sold. So
you think that overrode the rabid fan base of a Ninja or a Shroud?
Yes, because like I would say of the people who give like an Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime subscription, they don't get a free one at Mixer. They're using free money. That's why they're subscribing. Like that's their free money. They're just going to find the next one on their free money platform.
Right, but that won't be on the new thing, whatever they're going to launch, if it's a thing.
But they get more money if it's just their thing.
Right,
so it'll balance it off. Like,
sure.
If you have 10 million people willing to give you a free, you know, subscription, and 2 million of them follow you, and you're getting, yes, you got your chunk of money up front, but you're getting only, I don't know, half of that 2 million people's money, or you start your own thing and you get 5 million people, and you get 4 million of the 5 million people, all of their money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's always better to work for yourself and to take all or most of the money than it is to work for somebody else and give them half of your money. Now,
right, but I feel like in this space, Twitch has almost the entire pie to itself. That's how it is.
Well, they do, but Facebook has taken a you know, as we mentioned last week,
they take a few bites of the pie for sure.
But it's more and more every, you know, year over year, it's become even more. And Facebook, like Twitch, is a platform of convenience where, as far as spending money, because you have that free subscription that you could use if you have Amazon Prime, like kids are just using their parents' Amazon Prime. You know, it's free. It's free money.
Right.
And Facebook is a platform of convenience for users, like everybody and their mother, everybody include, you know, your mother and everybody else has a Facebook. So, but it is getting less and less. I will say that. Like the kids, they don't want a Facebook account, but it's easy to make one. And we know how Facebook makes money off of their advertisements. So I don't even think that they're really.
So if we have Twitch has a big chunk of the pie and we have chunks being taken away from Facebook, what's left for this third thing? It's third platform.
It could just be for the A-listers, you know, like they
a circle jerk,
like a prestige worldwide.
who wants to be a part of that?
Maybe just the top streamers. Like this, they're like
this elitist streaming platform.
That's exactly it. It's like this is us.
That sounds
and it's only
so
us.
Snooty. No, that's fuck. Then fuck you. Then get off Twitch. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
If that's anyway. How you think you should operate. See how much money you make. If that's your mindset going in, are you too good now for Twitch? Is that what you're saying?
The fifth point on Forbes, on this Forbes art. Fifth of all, Brime is a terrible name. Brime.com is still for sale for $50,000.
It sounds like a toilet cleaner.
Yeah, it does. WatchBrime.com is parked and is owned by a domain wholesaler site. It was purchased on June 25th. Brime.tv and Brime.gg were also just purchased this week.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is possible in the wildness of 20... Okay, so here's an update. Brime actually had a different logo when this account was first created, stolen from a web design company.
Oh, even better.
Initially, Brime was using the logo of an existing company, Blue Litmus... Yes, .com. Called them out and they instantly change it to the red text logo they have now. Also, Brime, isn't that too similar to Prime? Amazon could lead to consumer confusion. Update 2. Brime has tweeted a bit more today and says you shouldn't read into anything based on who it's following. In fairness, it's never claimed to be leading the stream, blah, blah, blah. I'm leaning towards it's not being a troll, but probably just someone's small passion project that received an undue amount of attention due to the situation. I very much doubt this is a big tech-backed company. So there you go. That's the updates.
So I really think we have a case of Occam's razor here.
Okay. It's
the simplest answer is likely the right answer. I think I'm not sure what Doctor did either on a stream or off stream.
Mm-hmm.
I think just some stuff went down that Twitch became aware of, and given the abrupt end of his last stream, something had to have gone down. Just had to.
I think it was the stream before, or it was like because, very recent. He did a whole COVID thing.
Right. Listen, if someone came to Twitch and said, "Hey, Doc reached out to me about leaving the platform and going on this whole other enterprise." You would investigate, I would hope, to get his side, not abruptly just end it. There was some sort of dead to rights thing they had him in that led to him being cut off so abruptly.
Mm.
That's what I think. So I think he...
Plot thickens, folks.
It does. It's fun to speculate about, you know, the three biggest characters in streaming to make their own platform. It's a nice idea. I think it's pure fiction, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. That's for sure.
Right.
That's.
But you know what? I've watched like so many videos about this guy in the last couple of days. About
he is so unlikable.
It's just that's fine. You know, you can be unlikable. You know, I still like you. And you still like me. But like knowing that he had like extramarital affairs, like why do I know this about this man? I shouldn't know these things about this individual.
Yeah,
but about who he fucked at TwitchCon and all this. Like, I don't care about that stuff.
You know, the biggest
was the consensual. It's just like I can't with the internet sometimes.
With me, like I'm an aspiring personality. Like I have this show. I've been doing it
right.
in the open for a
and
long
you're
time.
Also and you're very wholesome. You know,
well,
that many would at least assume you were.
But like when I go to like. I just can't imagine being in a position, no matter how many millions of dollars I have, that I would want to do something or think I'm powerful enough to do something that is as awful as the things that would that we would assume would lead to this kind of abrupt.
You know what I thought it was initially is, I'm not sure if you follow Jenna Marbles or like Shane Dawson on YouTube. No. They were recently quote unquote canceled. I think Shane Dawson had some blackface, sort of Jenna Marbles. And I thought, shit, what did Doc do like 10 years ago that someone dragged out of nowhere said?
No.
Right. That's what I thought, to be honest.
No, because that kind of thing, because he leans so heavily on, well, it's my character. Like when he does things really shitty, like he leans on, and I get it. It's performance art. I get it. Like Sacha Baron Cohen does the same thing, except Sacha Baron Cohen's actually good.
Andy Kaufman, you know?
You know, yeah, Andy Kaufman. It's performance art. Yeah. Like I get it. But the problem is like his real life blended in with that. And like like his extramarital stuff is not character. That's not a character he made. That's his character as a human being.
Right. But should that cost you like your Twitch account?
No. But that's what I'm saying.
Being a human being?
I think this is a very clear, there's a line in the sand. There's character and then there's the person. And I think it's the person that did something terrible, and for him to like pop smoke and leave like that, like they didn't.
Well, something terrible that's also in violation of their guidelines, though,
right?
Because that's also part of it. Like, there's something in the fine print that he must have done.
He used the platform, or not, because they could probably they might be able to cancel at any time if you know he could. What if he brings unwanted publicity because of some shit that he did in his private life? You know. Like maybe they have every right to just cancel any contract they want.
True.
You know, I don't know. All I know is if Twitch. Come here for a second, Twitch.
Yeah, that sounds very.
I'm gonna need you to calm down here for a minute.
I'm
speaking
calm.
To Twitch. I'm speaking to Jeff Bezos himself. Look, guy. If you're looking for a replacement for these top guys, these ninjas, these shrouds, these Dr. Disrespects, look no further. Okay, look at me. Twitch.tv/batchild. You want to be entertained? You want to laugh? You want to cry? You want to have a good time? You want to see awful gameplay? That's me. All right, Twitch? All right, Jeff? Give me a call. Put me on the front page.
They're going to send you to Mixer.
Right? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I think you just got your account banned, by the way.
Yeah, it's gone. Andy, take us into the hype zone, my friend.
Oh my God! This is a hype zone / future guest of the Duel of the Screens podcast.
I see it happened.
This happened. This was in the dock, and then it became reality. We have a release date for I think is the most hotly anticipated games of 2020.
Yep.
Now you were thinking, was it The Last of Us? Was it Ghosts? FF7 remake? No. This is the real shit. Chair fucking simulator comes to Steam. It's actually writhing onto Steam in less than a week. It is exactly what you think it is. It's a chair fucking simulator.
Yep. Can I read their response?
Yes, you may.
Okay. So yes. Andy reached out to them in their DMs. And let's just say Andy's last line was, I need to hear the full story behind this game. And here's the response. Kiki, thanks. I reckon this is nigh tempting. The terrible foot goblins that make up So Sorry Soft will reach out to you if they ever want to crawl out of the cracks in the wall.
Oh, yes.
There it is. There it is.
They have the best avatar, by the way. Have you seen this? Also, this is the world's most scientifically accurate chair fucking sim, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. This
account deserves more followers.
Fucked chairs.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, people fuck anything.
This account needs more followers. I mean, we just followed today, and they were following us beforehand, which is kind of nice. They know quality podcasting when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those who make quality games recognize quality podcasting.
That's right. That's right. This could be a situation where we get somebody just chewing in our ear and like.
Listen. We've had moments on the show, on the podcast, our interview show, where things don't go the way we think they would. And moments happen. where you and I often in our post G-Chat discussions are just like, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Or that's the last time they're coming on the show. This could trump all of them combined.
It's true. It's true.
We've had people taking a piss on our podcast.
We have.
People.
It was a medical condition, though.
People babbling incoherently, people chewing on cucumbers, people doing other things like looking up Wikipedia on the Civil War, mm-hmm. I think. Oh, something to that effect. That 5-minute interview we did that one time.
Correct.
This could take the cake. Mm-hmm. I feel. It's going to happen. Let's I'm very excited.
Get it done.
I'm very excited.
All right, we're going to kick it to the chat. Chat, if you have any questions, now is the time to ask it. So while you're typing up your responses and racking your brains, what you want to know from us, let's do the end of the thing. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. I am at Batchild, twitch.tv/Batchild, if you want to go follow me. Our YouTube is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Our contributors to the show, our theme song is by Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions. Our overlay on Twitch is and our logo is by Matt Murray. And Andrew Douglas does all of our funny little cartoon art. You can follow him at Angimoto. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/NDS Podcast. And we also have other shows that you might enjoy, including the Dual Screens Podcast, where we interview indie devs. We just had a hell of a show that we just recorded, and it's going to be up early tomorrow for our Patreon supporters. Andy, you want to tell them who our guest was?
Oh, that was a great show. We had the composer of Skatebird, Mr. Nate Madsen, but he's also much more than that. I believe a 14-year veteran in sound design
Indeed.
And music across games, film, and anime. Great conversation. Amazing guest.
Yeah, it was one hell of a show.
Yeah.
I really had a blast. And you know what? We actually learned a lot, too. It was a good show.
We did. I feel like sound is a very underappreciated component of video game design as a whole, which makes me cry so much. Which, again, just to go back to Hellblade, that game is all about sound design. And if you don't capitalize on that, if you go for more action and you abandon that core, the core value of it, I will be so fucking pissed.
It's probably going to have an increase, I would imagine. An increase of action, but like still hold those core values.
It's just, how do you take a game about mental illness and paranoia and the demons in your own head and you make it into an action game? I don't like that as an avenue.
Just give me more Heavenly Sword.
Oh God. Just do that instead. Do that.
All right. We have no questions in the chat.
But we were yelled at about Baby Wario from Buzz Killington in the chat.
Yeah, you did. Okay. This is not a question, Buzz. This is literally just yelling at us.
You just want us to mention
submit a story. So yes, we have Dr. Baby Wario coming to Dr. Mario World. Great, wonderful. He looks wonderful. He's very cute. But whatever.
But I can't fuck it. I like a chair, so
right.
It's
chairs can get effed.
Off the radar.
All right, folks, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Andy. This has been a great show. Thank you, Chad, for hanging out with us. And don't forget to check out the show. Check us out. Give us all the follows. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you'd like. That'd be really helpful. I love you, Andy. I love you, chat. And as always, please be excellent to each other.